Ephesians chapter 3, if you'll notice in verse number 13, we'll read down through verse number 19. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Friends and family, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this special Sunday, and Lord, for the fellowship time that we have planned afterwards. I pray, Lord, as we, Lord, focus our attention now for these few moments on into the Word of God, that you would allow it to touch our lives, and Lord, that it would be an encouragement to those who are a part of the family of God. And Lord, thank you, dear God, that you want everyone to be a part of the family of God. The invitation is for whosoever will. And so I pray if there's someone here, Lord, whether it's in this service or one of our children's ministries that do not know you as personal Savior, they'd be saved today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. There's a lot of different things that come with being saved, with being born again. Get saved in a moment, but I feel like that you spend your entire Christian life afterwards just unwrapping all of the wonderful gifts that came with the gift of salvation. There's nothing more wonderful, I'm going to say this, than Christian friends and a Christian family. Accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior enriches every relationship in your life. I want to say that again. Accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior enriches every relationship in your life. And we have this wonderful portion of Scripture here where you find the only place in the entire New Testament where you'll find the word family. And it's unique in what kind of family it is talking about here. Verse number 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now think about that. So if they are named after the Lord Jesus Christ, then the name that is given that links us together is the name or the title of Christian. And it also mentions in verse number 14 that we have a heavenly Father when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so because we are adopted into the family of God, that's what this whole born again thing is talking about. Well, preacher, I've heard that phrase and I wonder what it meant. Well, that comes from a conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus, where he looked at a very religious man and said, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, folks, think about that. Even Nicodemus was a little confused. He thought for a minute he was talking about the physical birth. But folks, just as there was a day where you had to be born physically, there also, if you want to go to heaven one day, there must be a spiritual birthday, a day that you are born again. The first is a physical birth. The second is a spiritual birth. And it happens the day that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so many things come with this. All of a sudden, now you have a different relationship with God. You can call God your heavenly Father. Think about that. You've got a different relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And not only is he now your brother, but he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And you have an opportunity to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 16 mentions the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And all of a sudden you receive within your life, within your body, the dwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, a member of the triune God. And by the way, every Christian has that. Every born again Christian has that. If you're not born again, you do not have it. If you are born again, you do have it. And because of that, there's this thing called the fellowship of the Spirit. Folks, listen to me. I did it this week. I got in a car last Sunday right after the morning service. I drove 5 hours all the way into Ohio on the other side of Columbus. I walked into a church that I'd never been to before and met a congregation I'd never met before. Knew the pastor, but didn't know anybody in that church. And you know what? Within a few minutes, I walked around. I was learning their names, and there was a kindred spirit. You know why? Because they're part of my family. Okay, think about that. And I don't care where I go in this world. When I'm talking to somebody that's been born again, I'm talking to a brother. Or I'm talking to a sister in Christ, you know. And there's this bearing witness of the Spirit of God. Now, folks, listen, all these things come with salvation. And God adopts us into his family. And think about that. So accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior enriches every relationship in your life. I want to say something. Can I just kind of use my family that I grew up as a testimony? My dad pastored for 41 years, and because of that, people think I was born into a family that was saved. When I was born, my mom and dad were not saved. They were lost and unchurched and didn't know the gospel, didn't know how to be saved. And you know what? Thank God we had some next door neighbors begin to invite us to church. Hey, people that are inviting others to church are some of the best friends they could ever have. And so they kept after us and after us. And you know what? Mom and dad finally went to church, and they began to set under the preaching of the gospel. They didn't know what it meant to be born again. They didn't know what it meant to be saved. My dad later said that him and mom used to sit at the kitchen table after some Sundays while they were trying to figure out what all the preacher was talking about. And mom literally said to my dad, "What is this saved thing he keeps talking about, getting saved thing?" So you understand they didn't have a background in the Bible, in church. They didn't understand these things, and that's fine. I thank God that people in that church loved my family and accepted my family and were patient with my family. I tell folks, when we went to church, the Ross family showed up the first time. We didn't look very churchy, okay? I don't know if that's a word or not, but you know, but they loved us and accepted us and prayed for us. And you know what? The preacher preached the gospel and was faithful in preaching the gospel. And aren't you glad how the Lord is so patient with all of us, and how the Holy Spirit will work so carefully with somebody's heart. And we learned a little here and a little there and a little there. And finally, it all came together. And it's a wonderful moment when you realize, hey, Jesus just didn't die on a cross. And he didn't just die for the world. He died for me. He came because he loved me. And you make that thing personal. All of a sudden you realize, you know what? I need to be born again. I need to be saved. Well, my dad got saved. And then a couple weeks later, my mom was driving the car and pulled over the side of the road under such conviction and bowed her head right there by herself in a vehicle and prayed and received Christ as her Savior. You know, you don't have to be in church to be saved. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Hey, God's everywhere. I think he's listening no matter where you're at. And so then, you know what, carefully, God began to work in each of our children, the children's life, and all four of us eventually were saved in that. What are you saying, preacher? Listen, when Jesus Christ came into my family's life, it changed our family. It changed every relationship in our family. I want to just say some things, okay? I watched Jesus take my dad and turn him into a better husband. I watched Jesus take my mom and turn her into a better wife. I watched Jesus take my dad and make him a better daddy. And my mom a better mommy. I don't know if it helped the brother-sister situation. No, it really did. It took a while, but it really did. You're talking about a miracle of grace, amen. We finally started getting along a little bit better. You know why? Because all of a sudden Jesus had come into our life. And we begin to see things differently. Jesus changed our family for the better. For the better. And I often tell folks, I just like asking folks a simple question. You know, if you put God in the middle of something, is it going to get better or worse? And if you take God out of the middle of something, is it going to get better or worse? Well, I can tell you, I watched my parents' marriage get better because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I watched their parenting get better because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I watched our family relationships get better because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, folks, Jesus changed our family. Come on, all of a sudden some things my mom and dad were doing in their life that was hurtful and destructive, the Lord began to work in their lives. They began to turn away from these things and they began to give up these things. And I can remember when Dad finally came and to an altar and then went outside and took a pack of cigarettes out of his pocket, watered up for the first time, and the Lord gave him victory. Listen, the Lord can give you victory in areas of your life that you'll never get victory by yourself. And I sat there as a young man watching God change our family for the better. So Jesus changed our family. Then Jesus began to enlarge our family. You see, we didn't understand this when we first got saved, but it wasn't that Jesus just came in to change our family. We became a part of the family of God, of the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's what the verse says there. And all of a sudden, you know what? I discovered something called a church family. I always say that, you know what? I always have one mom. I always have my, you know, I just have my one biological mom. But I had a lot of church moms. I'm glad there was ladies in my church that I looked up to and that had influence in my life, and they just became like extra moms. And by the way, that sometimes was a good thing, and sometimes that wasn't such a good thing for me, depending on how I was acting at the time, okay? And then I got a whole bunch of brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. And I got some, yeah, I only had one biological dad, but I had men that I began to look up to that had influence in my life. And folks, listen to me. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of the family of God. I think, as I just want to say this, because Jerry Ross's observations, I think I can prove it out, though. You know what? I think America has become weaker and the family structure has become weaker since we've gotten away from the church house. Than back in the days when most folks went to the church house. Because, you know, it wasn't just our family. God was enlarging our family. We had our church family. And that was who we joined with and worshiped with every Sunday. And we got to know them and they got to know us. And we prayed for them and we prayed and they prayed for us. And my mom finally got the opportunity to sing. They finally heard that she could sing. And one of the first songs that she sang in church publicly ever was, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." You know why? Because it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's nice that when you're going through some things to have a church family, a Christian family praying for you. Well, think about that. It's just good to have them rooting for you. Come on, it's good to have sometimes somebody to talk to and open up to that aren't going to cast stones and aren't going to judge you, but are going to pray with you and pray for you and give you some good hearty counsel. We'll talk about that in just a minute. You know what? Then I realized something else as we were then going and visiting other churches and going to other meetings, that it wasn't just a church family, but everywhere we met Christians, it was like they were part of our family and we were part of their family. Listen, this is the way God intended for it to be. And then the preacher taught us that not only do we have a church family and a Christian family, but we can be a part of adding other people to the family. And he began to teach us about witnessing. And just like somebody invited me to church and my family to church, we can invite other families to church. I can remember the preacher showing up. By the way, all you kids are riding the bus every week this year. You're getting some Chick Tracts to take home with you. And I want you to enjoy them. I want you to read them. But I'm not giving you those things just so that you can read them and then throw them in the trash or put them in a drawer. Listen, read that thing and then take it to school the next day and give it to somebody else. And you know what? I can remember as a third grader and a fourth grader and a fifth grader getting on the school bus with some Chick Tracts that my preacher had given me and giving it to kids and seeing them sit there on the bus and read them. And see, I got in trouble once because I gave them out to all the classmates. And then while the teacher was teaching, they had all their English books open, but they really had their little comic book inside. And I was sitting in the back and I could see everybody was reading the Chick Track instead of paying attention to the teacher. And we would have got away with it except the girl on the front row. You know who she is, okay, that one girl on the front row. And she raised her hand and there was a word in the Chick Track she didn't understand. She's, "Teacher, what's this word?" And then we all got busted, you know. But say, why would you do that? Because you know what? The preacher told me, listen, somebody brought you to Jesus. You can bring somebody else to Jesus. Somebody got you to be a part of the family. You can get somebody else to be a part of the family of God. So Jesus changed our family. He enlarged our family. And then you know what, folks? What came along with that is this. For the first time in our lives, Jesus provided us with some real friends. With some real friends. Now, you young people, please sit up and listen to me. There's a lot of people in your life that'll pretend to be a friend, but they're not a real friend. You know, there's a lot of people out in the world that's going to try to draw you into sinfulness and draw you into self-destructive behavior, and they're having influence in your life, and they're pulling you away from God. Come on, away from mom and away from dad, encouraging rebellion in your life against the people in your life that love you the most. Those aren't your friends. Come on, let me say it out loud. The kid that's trying to get some other kid started on dope's not a friend. The teenager is trying to get somebody else to smoke their first cigarette isn't a friend. Come on, young ladies. I'm going to be careful here, but you know what? That guy that wants to pretend that he loves you and yet he wants to steal the thing that's most precious from you, that's not your friend. Now think about this. When you get in the church house and you get amongst Christian people, you know what? You begin to discover what real friendship is all about. Jesus provided our family with some real friends. By the way, he started by providing us with the best friend we could ever have. And I want to say this, the best friend you could ever have is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And no matter how good a friend I'd like to be to you, I can't be there all the time, and I can't be available all the time. But aren't you glad that we all have someone who will never leave us nor forsake us? And I can wake up in the middle of the night and just mention his name, and he's there. And he's there. John 15:15, Jesus said this to his disciples, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. When Jesus saves us, he wants to be your best friend. Folks, listen to me. You don't have to walk through life alone. You don't have to face that trial alone. You don't have to face that difficulty alone. God never intended you to live that life that way. And Jesus Christ is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I discovered this truth at a very young age. Mrs. Evans at the Rock Run Baptist Church used to take us back in the classroom during Wednesday night Bible study. We'd stay in for the first part and sing with the congregation. And then before the preacher would begin his Bible study for the adults, she had herded all of us back into the back classroom and set us up in a semicircle. And she'd always teach us something. And this is a woman that put a lot of thought into this. And she always had a unique way of getting something to stick in our hearts and stick in our minds. And I just want to say this, folks. Some of the greatest children's teachers and children's preachers, I think, in America are in this ministry. And many of them are right now doing the same thing for your children here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And what a blessing that is. But one day she walked in there and we were all sitting in a semicircle and she said, I was just curious thinking about that this week. And I want to ask y'all a question. Here's the question. You think about it. I'm going to have everybody answer out loud. Here's the question. Who is your very best friend? And she started over here and went around the circle and everybody came up with the name of somebody that they went to school with or were a classmate with or next door neighbor to. And sometimes somebody would mention a brother or some sister or something like that. And they went all around the classroom like that. And then Mrs. Evans looked at everybody. And after we all got done, we were so proud of ourselves. We all had a best friend. And then she started crying. She started weeping. She started getting emotional. And she kept saying over and over, I failed. I failed. Now think about this. You know, I'm like 6, 7 years old. I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? And finally, she looked at us and pulled herself together and said, I can't believe I've taught all of you kids for all this time. I failed you as a teacher because not a one of you said Jesus Christ was your best friend. And then she went on to teach a lesson on how Jesus ought to be your best friend. Now, young people, look right up here. I promise you, I wasn't a perfect kid. But you know what? Something stuck in my heart that day. And I remember just thinking as I left the church that day, you know what? It doesn't matter if people include me or leave me out. Doesn't matter how people treat me at school, whether it's good or bad. I've always got a best friend. And I think I'm just going to make Jesus my very best friend. I got news for you. You know what? That hasn't changed even today. Jesus Christ still wants to be your very best friend. Now think about that. Jesus provides us with real friends. And becoming a Christian provides you also with wonderful Christian friends. Proverbs 13:20. Oh, please listen. This isn't just for young people. A lot of times I'll say young people when I talk about bad peer pressure. It's not just young people that are being destroyed because of the wrong crowd. I'm watching adult people. They ain't got enough sense to figure out what crowd they're in and where that crowd is taking them. Now please listen to this preacher. You're listening to someone who is your friend. I may be the best friend you have right now. Please listen to me. Proverbs 13:20. Here's what the Bible says. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. It says shall be. Doesn't say might be. Might happen, maybe. You hook up with the wrong crowd, they're going to destroy your life. If you hook up with wise people, you're going to learn how to be wise. Come on, but you become a companion of fools, and you know what? Pretty soon your life will be destroyed. Now, once you get saved, once you get born again, you know what? One of the things that you ought to do is, first of all, try to win your old crowd to Jesus. You say, preacher, I ought to leave the old crowd. I'm telling you something better than leaving the old crowd. First of all, why don't you go back to the old crowd and tell them about the Lord Jesus. Tell them about how you got born again. Tell them how you got saved. Because what I'll tell you is this. You know what? You won't have to leave the old crowd if you start witnessing to them. One of two things is going to happen. They'll either get saved, and some of them will. Or they'll pretty soon not want to be your friend anymore. And you know what? That's their choice, and that's okay. Because the thing about it is, once you get saved, yeah, you should start by trying to win the old crowd. But if you start trying to win the old crowd, pretty soon you'll have a new crowd. And there is a wonderful thing about finding Christian friends. Come on, ladies, Christian friends. Come on, men, Christian friends. You know, one old man said this, you show me who you're hanging around today and I'll show you who you'll be tomorrow. There's so much truth to that. You know, George Washington, I won't get the quote exactly right, but he said it's far better to spend your life alone than with fools. That's George Washington, pretty smart man, pretty successful, pretty godly man. Think about that. Real Christian friends. The Bible tells us about the blessings of biblical friendship. Now please, just give me a hearing here. I believe that there's such a blessing that comes with biblical friendship. Yes, it should start with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he should be your very best friend. But I'm so glad that I have a lot of Christian friends. And the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, the way a real friend will treat you. Now think about this. Proverbs 27:9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Hearty counsel. Now think about that. The word hearty. Hearty counsel. You know, that's talking about, you look at that word up, hearty. It's talking about nourishing. You know, you ever sit down and look at a bowl of soup and think, that's a hearty bowl of soup. That's a nourishing bowl of soup. Hearty counsel. Healthy counsel, sound counsel. Listen, hearty counsel is biblical counsel. If anybody's telling you and giving you advice that's opposite of the word of God, they're not smarter than God. And God has given us a book here of hearty counsel. One of the best things you can do is, yes, make Jesus your best friend. But let me say this, you might want to make this book one of your best friends also. Because it is full of hearty, nourishing, healthy counsel. Listen, don't get mad if you read something in the Bible and it's telling you not to do something that you're doing. Don't get mad. Don't get mad if a preacher preaches out of the Bible and shows you where it's telling you to stop doing something that you're doing. God doesn't do those things or tell you those things to hurt you. He tells you those things to help you. Come on, parents. Isn't there some dangerous things that you tell your kids not to do? And do they always want to hear it? I mean, if you got to come up, grandma's, grandpa's, you got a little granddaughter and she found a Oh, what's the little pins they use their hair pins? Yeah, I guess, you know. The metal pins you use in your hair would be called, I guess. And so you got a hair pin, and all of a sudden they walk over to a plug-in, and they're looking in that plug-in, and they got a hair pin. And, you know, all good grandparents say, well, you know, they just need to find out for themselves. I don't want to force my belief system on them, you know. Come on, I don't want to make them not stick the hairpin. And now, you know, come on, if you got any sense at all, if you love that kid, you're going to say, hey, give me that. Don't you dare put that in there. You're going to get hurt. And you know what? They might start crying, and they might not like it. And they might throw a little bit of a hissy fit, but are you trying to be a friend or an enemy to them? See, a lot of the people, come on, this is where people get mixed up about what friendship is and isn't. Good counsel isn't always easy counsel. Nourishing counsel isn't always easy counsel. And you know what? As we read the Bible, it is going to challenge us. Let me just say this. It will challenge you in the way that you're living your life. But God doesn't put these things in here to take away good things from you. He's trying to keep you away from things that are going to destroy your life. And so think about that. So a real friend will bless you with hearty counsel. Proverbs 27 verse 6, faithful. Now get ready. Here we go. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now think about that. That sounds backwards to the mixed up way, young people, that some of you have been taught in the public school to define friendship. Well, she's my friend because she's always nice to you. Then she's not your friend. But she always tells me I'm right, then she's not your friend. But she always tells me whatever idea I have is a good one, then she's not your friend. The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now think about that. We're talking about wounds. We're talking about somebody doing something that's going to inflict pain or hurt on somebody else. Well, then that's not a friend. It depends. It depends. Let me tell you something. If somebody's getting ready to jump off a cliff because they've come to such a point of despair in their life, and you know what? The only way I can stop them is run as fast as I can and hit them as hard as I can and knock them to the ground. They're going to feel some pain. But that was the pain inflicted by a friend. Let me tell you who's not a friend. The person saying, well, you know, you do what you want to with your life. Nobody else can make any decisions for you. Only you know what you need to do. Follow your heart. And if your heart's telling you to jump, then maybe that's what you ought to do. That's the stupidest thing you ever heard in all your life. There's a bunch of pretenders and fakers out there who you think is your friend, and they're the one leading you right into destruction. Okay, so think about that. A real friend will bless you with loving rebuke, with hearty counsel, but sometimes loving rebuke. Listen, folks, there are times when I don't really want to hear what I need to hear. And if that's true with me, I think it'd be true of all of us. A lot of times we don't want to hear what we need to hear. But young people, that's why I want to help some of you. Honestly, some of you need to listen to the preacher. Your mom is one of the best friends you have in all your life. And your dad is one of the best friends you'll ever have in all your life. And that doesn't mean they're always going to tell you what you want to hear. But they'll tell you what you need to hear. So think about those things. A real friend will bless you with hearty counsel. A real friend will bless you with loving rebuke. A real friend will challenge you to be better than you are. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now, folks, listen to me. The goal in life is to lift people up, not put people down. When you get around the right kind of people, they're going to make you want to be better than you are. They're going to make you want to achieve more than you think you're capable of. I will say this. Some of the best teachers I had growing up, I thought at the time, were some of the meanest, nastiest teachers I'd ever have in all my life. You know why? Because they wouldn't pat me on the back for a half effort. I mean, some of those teachers, think what they did to my self-esteem. Some of those teachers would pass my paper back to me, and it looked like they killed a chicken on top of it. There was so much red all over it. And they just went crazy with the red marker. And, you know, sometimes they put F on the top. I think that was for fantastic, I think. F at the top. Or D for dummy. I think that's what I got a lot of times. But you know what? And all I wanted them to do was give me an A. But they saw something inside of me, and they knew I was capable of achieving much more than I was. And they knew that if I decided I was going to live my life given a half effort, I wouldn't accomplish anything much in life. And so listen, what I'm trying to say here, folks, listen, if you want to become a part, you get saved today and say, preacher, you know, man alive, I get to be a part of a Christian family. I get to have Christian friends. That doesn't mean everybody in your life sitting around applauding all of your bad decisions and bad mistakes. That means people in love, they will do it in love. In love will sometimes come to you and say, you're about to ruin your life. You're about to wreck your life. Hey, I know that this is difficult for you, but you really need to give that up. Come on, kids. Let some people in your life that love you come to you and say, hey, you keep hanging around that kid, you're going to get destroyed. Hey, young lady, I know you think you're in love, but you have no idea where that relationship's going to end up taking you. Okay? Now listen, these are real friends. They'll love you. They'll pray for you. Amen. They'll want to spend time with you. But that doesn't mean they're going to sit there and just watch you self-destruct. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of friends I want in my life. I want people that I spend time with. Think about that. Iron sharpening an iron. Listen, if you take a knife that's stolen, you want to sharpen it, you can't sharpen it on marshmallows. Come on, man, it don't work that way. You know what you got to do? You got to get that old sharpening iron, and you got to rake that back and forth and rake that back and forth. By the way, I've sharpened a lot of knives in my life, and the more you those two steels interact like that, then take it and put it on your skin. It starts getting a little warm. Come on, then you start more aggressively doing it, and sometimes even sparks will fly a little bit. And it'll take some things, grind some things off of you that need to be ground off of you. But let me tell you this, when you get done, you're going to have a better instrument, sharper instrument. You're going to have a more usable tool. And so that's one of the reasons that God brings us Christian friends. Now, folks, listen to me. There's a lot of reasons to get saved. You know, the most important one is because of the love of God. For God so loved the world. By the way, that's you. That he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And every one of us is a sinner. Not a one of us deserve to go to heaven. That's where a holy God lives. That's where a perfect place is. And you know what? Our sin would mess heaven up. So God had to do something about our sin. He could have turned his back on the human race. Instead, he did the unthinkable. I can't comprehend it. He sent his only begotten son to come down and die for my sins and die for your sins so that I got a chance to go to heaven one of these days. Think about that, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation's not hard, but it's 100% necessary. Think about that. And so if Jesus Christ has come down and he's paid the price for your sins and he's offering you the gift of eternal life and he would like to save you today, then listen to me. You know what? Why wouldn't you take that? Why wouldn't you accept that? And you know what? Not only are you saved, not only is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not only, according to John chapter 14, does God begin construction on a new mansion for you to live in one of these days. Not only is all your sins forgiven forever and erased from your record forever, but there's a lot of other really wonderful things that come with it that helps us to live out the rest of our life successfully. You become a part of a family. Family and friends Sunday. You become a part of a family. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a great family to be a part of. And then you know what? You discover within that family some real friends. Not the kind of friends you're going to have to walk away from in the world. I'm just going to tell you. You're going to have to. Okay? But I'm talking about real friends that want to see you succeed and will help you succeed and will be that source of hearty counsel. And yes, come on. Sometimes that source of loving rebuke. But also, you'll find when you spend time with them, you become better and you become sharper. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you may be here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Preacher, I'd like to be saved. I know I need to be saved. Maybe you came in much like my parents years ago when they first started attending a Baptist church. And they were still trying to figure it out. Preacher, I'm not even sure I know what it means to be saved. We have people here that are trained to take the Bible and go through the Word of God and show you exactly what it means to be born again, to be saved, what you need to do and must do in order to one day go to heaven. But you can leave here today knowing 100% sure that you have eternal life. And if you are interested in that, you say, Preacher, I feel like God is speaking to my heart and working in my heart, and I'd like to settle this matter of salvation. I'd like to know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. You know what? We want to be able to help you today. And we'd like to be able to get somebody to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today. And so if you are here today and you are not 100% sure that you're saved, Preacher, I'm not 100% sure that I'm ready for heaven, but I'm interested and I know that I need to do something, I want to get somebody to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. But first, I'd like to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not saved, but I'd like to know how to be saved. I'd like to be a born-again Christian. Would you raise your hand? I'm not saved, but I'd sure like to be saved. I'd like somebody to talk to me. I see your hand way back there. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else? Preacher, I wish I'd have raised my hand. Well, go ahead. Don't let the devil stop you. I need to get this thing settled. I need to know this 100% sure. I need to settle this. If you raised your hand, when we have the invitation here in just a minute, if you'll leave your seat and come to the nearest aisle, walk up here, if you're a lady, we'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a man, we'll get a man to show you. But listen, don't leave here wondering. There's such a wonderful, wonderful thing that comes with just knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. Let the Lord work in your heart. Heavenly Father, I pray for this one that raised her hand. I pray, Lord, that you would help her to make that decision today, Lord. And Jesus, thank you so much. You are that friend that sticks closer than a brother. It's wonderful to have Christian friends. It's wonderful to be a part of a Christian family. But Jesus, the main relationship and the one that's always been there for me is my best friend. Thank you for wanting to be my best friend, for being so faithful, even at times when I wasn't the best of friends back to you. You've always been faithful. You've always been good. And I pray, Lord, there's some young people, maybe they are saved, but they're hanging around the wrong crowd. Maybe they've gotten rebellious towards mom and dad. They're not listening like they ought to. Maybe the world has pulled them away from God. And at one time, their heart burned for the Lord and they loved the Lord, and the devil's come along and brought sin into their life. He's dampened that relationship. I pray they'd get right this morning. Pray these things in Jesus' name.